May 13, 2007, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
looking in the next room to see if he's okay. He's safe. My life is not worth living without him. So I chose him before anything. There is no going back. Migu needs him, but if he's with me, he can't help them. He chose me. I chose to live my life with him. No matter what happens along the way, we'll be together. The tale is already close by, but we are not afraid as long as we are together. I feel as if I'm about to cry. I felt his hands in mine while he sleeps.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was the story of the daughter in the Savior's Village by Migu. And we started off the show with Spiral by John Coltrane, which I find myself in currently. Life is a hard classroom, huh? No. I'm grateful for a lot, so don't. Well, I hope you don't feel I take anything for granted. Thank you, John Coltrane. And Migu, I got to meet 2/3 of Migu. It was a week ago. The husband and wife that plays bass and drums in Cornelius is also 2/3 of Migu, Shimmy and Yuko. And they invited me to see them play at the El Rey with this band from Tokyo called Cornelius, which I didn't know much about, but it was pretty incredible music. And there's another cat, too. There's four of them all together. Hey Artie or something. But, yeah, it was pretty impressive. I was awestruck. It was a trip. And they're very nice people. And it's a trip when you... this might happen when people... meet me. I mean, I hope I don't let them down. But, you know, there's the music, and then you meet the folks who make it, and that's always a trip. So, they're very kind to me, and even suggested I do some music with him. So maybe yet another Watt project. Huh? Side Mouse. I mean, I could learn a lot from playing with these people, believe me. So we'll see what happens. I was very grateful to get to see that. I want to apologize for not having a show for almost 6 weeks, huh? But I had a tour. And even though I brought the mic and, you know, music and stuff and ready to do it on the road, the Stooges did the first U.S. tour since the reunion. In fact, last month, April, that makes 4 years now, they've been playing since, 74, 75. Yeah, it was 1974. And I was still in high school. Yeah. But, well, I got a diary up on the Hoop page if you want to read what I chimped about it. Turned 60 in San Francisco on the 21st of April, and that was an incredible show. They all were pretty wild for me. All challenges, of course, and yet another classroom. But what an opportunity for me, man. I'm still the biggest fan, you know. I always will be. And hearing it, why having a hand in trying to help those guys is, yeah, it's a mind blow. I don't know how to more strongly put it. But I enjoyed it a lot. We have like 25, 26 gigs coming up this summer. I leave on the 25th for a gig on the 27th in Holland. But I'll get in another show next week. And in fact, I'll have an interview. I have one this show. In fact, we're going to hear that right now. Chris Novoselic came to town. He lived here until he was like 12 or something. And then moved up to Aberdeen in Washington State. But he's got family here, so he came back to visit. And yesterday he called me up, asked me to, you know, come and rap. And yeah, he wanted to see what changed. And the town had changed a bunch, you know. And I don't know. It's hard for me, but I see it, you know. But since I live here, you know, the gradual thing dulls the perspective a little, and I don't want to be sentimental or nostalgic or anything. No, what? Never. Oh, yeah, I'm not with Brother Matt today. He's been really busy. I'm here in my Pan Pedro. So if you're missing his voice and spirit, so am I. But anyway, I got to talk to Chris yesterday. May 12, 2007. So here's an interview from that. Watt from Pedro Show. Okay, we're in San Pedro, California. May 12, 2007. Chris Novoselic, come back.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. It's been many years, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. You were saying early 90s?
Yes. I remember walking these streets as a... pretty much a child. I'm going to the movie theater, a couple
Warner.
Down, the Warner Theater.
Yeah, we're on 6th Street right now for you people who can't see.
And, you know, I'm just looking at 6th Street right now. It looks like downtown Aberdeen, Washington, or downtown Astoria, Oregon. You see the old buildings, a few for lease. It's just like decentralized commerce. I guess you could, there are opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
If you could make it.
Keep people away from the strip malls. I mean, that's who they're competing with.
Yeah, they're competing with, yeah, centralized. You know, that's free enterprise, too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's making of it. There's an employee, carpenters, electricians. And then you see all these shipping containers coming into the port of Los Angeles, yeah. And it's all just manufacturing elsewhere in the Far East.
Yeah, big time. We're bigger than Rotterdam now. We're the number one can port in the world.
I saw those cranes, and I saw the huge container ships coming in.
See those three big green ones? They came from China because they're cheaper to build there, and they had to wait for the tide to go down to get them under the Vincent Thomas Bridge. It cleared it by 3 feet.
Wow.
But, you know, that used to be Todd Shipyard. It's Yang Ming Terminal now, China shipping. But the Germans built it for them. Kind of
I remember when I was a kid, there were some of my friends' fathers would work at Todd Shipyard, and they'd bring, like, all kinds of nice tools home in their lunch boxes.
Pilfering. So when we last talked was in San Diego a few years ago.
Right.
With Highs Adrift. Since then, I was in England when you were in December. But
I missed you. I saw the show.
Yeah, because I had to play on the continent too with my missing men, but I flew back to do the Stooges. And you were playing too.
We played the same night. And I played earlier in the day, and I fell asleep, and I caught a bug on the plane. And the whole trip, I was just kind of knocked out.
Sick.
Yeah.
But you're playing bass with Flipper.
I'm playing bass with Flipper, and we're recording some new tunes. We're going to make a record, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's Flipper.
God damn it. Well, how did that happen?
I think it was Thurston Moore and John Silva, and
was it Falcone and
Steve from
Bruce?
Steve DePace from Flipper.
Oh, Steve.
They had the idea, and they called me, and I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And Thurston was curating the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival. Yeah, it's Ted Falcone and Bruce Luce, Bruce Calderwood.
Right.
And I came down to Oakland, and we started jamming the tunes. I didn't know what to think, and, you know, it was a huge influence on me, Flipper music. And played a tune or two, three or four, and then we played Shine, I Saw You Shine, and it just all clicked, and we conjured the Flipper.
You're taking Will Shatter's place.
Yeah, well, I'm the third or fourth bass player.
So they were doing gigs before.
Fourth bass player. I'm the third bass player since Will. There were a couple other bass players. Another one also passed away after Will. Same circumstances.
Oh, shit.
And
you're not afraid.
Well, there was Bruno De Smartass, who was the third bass player, and he's alive and well.
Good.
So he broke the curse.
Okay.
So I'm told.
Okay. So the new album, are you in on the songs?
I've been busting out all the riffs. We get together.
Wow.
I haven't been in this place since the end of Nirvana. It's kind of like In Utero Nirvana type deal. And Flipper. Well, it's Flipper first and foremost. With, you know, Steve has that backbeat, and Ted has that avant guitar, and you got Bruce cranking out the vocals, and so I've just been busting out these bass riffs and trying to find that groove, and it's Flipper. It's we're conjuring Flipper, and it's coming together. Hopefully by September we'll have some.
How was the All Tomorrow Party gig?
It was
except
great.
For the sickness.
You know, it was our third gig, my third gig with them. And it was good. I mean, it wasn't as good as the Stooges, I think. The Stooges were amazing, by the way.
Well, where was the first one?
The first one was in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And the second one was in Portland, Oregon. And then we went took the plane over to the...
So some warm-ups.
Yeah, we did some warm-up gigs. And then we toured the UK and Ireland. And by our last show in Ireland, it's kind of a... You don't think of Flipper as a tight band, but we were pretty tight. I mean, it came together pretty good, I think.
Did you do Sex Bomb?
Holy! Well, we toured with the Melvins.
And oh, I saw them there with the two bass.
Yeah, two bass, two drummers, and
big business, right?
Yeah, big business. Yeah, Corey,
the singer guy, bass guy. good band. But they were their own twofer band up in Seattle, right? I think they moved down here to
be
Melvins.
And so we would do a combination sex bomb. So there were three drummers on Sex Bomb.
Wow. Boredoms. Well, they're trying to get a gig this summer with 77 drummers.
77?
Yeah, on July 7th, 2007.
Oh, that makes sense.
7-7-2007, 77 drummers. In Brooklyn. So you toured with them.
Right.
They're a great band, man. That gig they did, Minehead, I think, was part of England we did. Yeah. And that was a blast. They're wearing them smocks, whatever.
Yeah, it's some
graduation
count. They have the smocks on. It's amazing music. The way those drummers are integrated.
Yeah,
the kick drums are facing each other. Like, we usually have a drummer with two kicks. They kind of face out. We have two drummers and two kicks. Maybe even three kicks there, but the two big kick drums are facing each other. So it's really unique and important.
Yeah, I thought they were a blast. Do you have plans for more gigs, or wait for the record?
I don't know what we're going to do with, like, gigs and that whole part of it. We might do some gigs around the Northwest, but there's some issues. We can't really tour a lot.
Okay. What about the Prac thing? Is it like Stooges? Because we all live in different towns, so we just meet at the
camp. We have band camp is what we do. Stuff at my place in Southwest Washington State.
Oh, the Collective. You still have that going.
We're coming up there.
Familia's living there still on the grounds.
Familia, yeah. My mom's there. My wife, Darby, Brandon, my nephew's there. We had 9 people there for a while. And so Flipper was there. We put these 2 long tables together, so it was just the total communal table, this big long table. And, okay, it's dinner time. Everybody come down. We eat.
Valhalla.
Yeah, it was good.
You got the old Volkswagen?
I got 2 of them. Brandon and I are working on 68 right now.
My first bug was 68.
68, and then there's the 63. They're different, you know.
Oh, I know.
They're different.
63 was 6-volt years.
6-volt year, but we're gonna do this one to 12.
Yeah, I put an alternator in mine.
It's got the 40 horse in it.
Right.
And then the 68 has a 1600.
Right.
With kind of a heavier body, bigger body.
Different bumper.
Yeah, it's different. A lot, dude. It's just a lot different.
Right. It was the first year of the change. They actually went 12-volt 67.
They did in 67. My friend gave me a 67 bug about a couple months ago. He gave it to me, but it was so rusty. There was nothing. There was only a few things that I saved. The generator stand. What else did I save? A couple other things. A few other little things on it. But man, the Stooges are so amazing. And Iggy too. Like, I've got a radio show on Coast Community Radio in Astoria, Oregon. I play a lot of just like Stooges, a lot of just Iggy, Party Record, Zombie Birdhouse.
Oh yeah,
The Idiots.
The Blondie guys.
Yeah, yeah, Zombie Birdhouse is good. Village. I like them all.
Yeah, he turned 60 in San Francisco. We did a U.S. tour in April. And, 60th birthday, we're at the Warfield. He stage dived 7 times. And I'm not feet first ones. I mean, these are like javelin tosses, you know, with the arms at the side. I see the bottom of his boot soles, you know.
Uh-huh.
Balls out, guys. No fear. I mean,
that's amazing.
He's pretty kamikaze. You know, going to every gig, he said, you know, you got to work it like it might be the last one, he says. So the Flipper thing was a surprise on me.
Oh, yeah.
Thurston actually told me to tell no one. I didn't know it was his. He had something to do with the idea, though.
Well, you know, I never really quit music. I mean, play guitar, like, every day, like, acoustic guitar mostly.
Yeah.
But I really got into the political thing. But the more I got into it, I figured out, I kind of found my niche on what really works for me. And some people suggested that I run for office, and I really thought about it. But I decided not to, because that's like a... If you want to do things politically, you don't really have to... have to be a lawmaker to do that. There's ways that you can make change. And I think that also, like, all politics are local too. So if you want to really make a difference in your own life and in your community, if you just become active, you can make a lot of change. You can do whatever you want with it. And the main thing I want to do is my issue is electoral reform, because our elections are really broken. I know in Washington State, here in California too, and if not the whole United States. And there needs to be a remedy to, there's so many problems, we can talk all day about it. But I believe there is a remedy with like ranked choice voting and proportional voting. That it's just, if you change the rules and make them more inclusive for folks, then we'll have a better democratic experience.
Yeah, yeah. Besides, okay, people that are elected in now, what's up with that? What do you think of the job?
Well, I'm pretty happy with the way the elections went in 2006. And it shows that the Constitution still works and that people have some sense. I mean, there was so much hysteria after the turn of the century with the whole 9/11 and the petty nationalism and the fear-mongering and that willful obedience that too many people defaulted to. And it seems like there's a mentality now where there's more awareness of that people were sold a bunch of goods after 9/11, especially with the fiasco in Iraq. And that resulted in Democrats taking control of Congress in 2006. Washington State Democrats just made a haul in last year, 2006.
Yeah.
Then again, in California, it's so bad. The electoral system is so bad that there really wasn't a lot of change. I mean, there were Schwarzenegger. Is he a Republican? Is he a Democrat? He's just kind of this independent, you know. 2006 elections showed how empty Republicanism is. They're supposedly the party of smaller government and private initiative. They're the party of privacy, the party of less spending and fiscal discipline. It's like, not at all. Basically, they're borrow and spenders. They're state socialists. You know, they like a lot of public and government programs, especially those that benefit their patrons. 2006 was the biggest money makers were the defense industries and oil industries. Huge patrons of the Republican Party. I think they made more, about three times as much as the S&P average. Oil companies and defense contractors did in 2006. And the stock market's been hasn't been very dynamic. It's been kind of, you know, putting along. Except if you're into oil and bombs, which is good blood money.
Yeah. What do you think? There's going to be a change into the guard with the head garbage collector, right? I mean, the term limit. Maybe the guy wouldn't run if they let him anyway.
He'd never do it. I mean, he has like Nixonian approval ratings. I mean,
yeah.
Come on. Cheney's like at 9%. And they should have never been there in the first place. That he has no, George W. Bush has no authority to speak on about democracy. He invokes democracy, but his installation was a travesty. And 2008, I think it's for the Democrats. So that's a race for the Democrats to lose, and we'll just see how the nomination shapes up. I mean, there's the front runners. Hillary Clinton is the, she's got the 800-pound gorilla as her husband. It depends on how hard he hits the trail, and people recognize if they could see a role for him in her administration. And so it's kind of like Back to the Future. Like, well, the 90s were actually really good time for people in the United States. It was a very prosperous time. On the other hand, ever since Bush came in, his folks sucked all the money out of the economy.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Obama, Barack, he has the potential to really ignite the imagination of voters and Americans for a vision for the country. It's that kind of optimism. John Edwards, well, we'll see how, you know, he's got some personal challenges, and, you know, people really want to elect trial attorney. Richardson is good, governor of New Mexico.
What about Kucinich?
Dennis Kucinich is really good. I really like his message on peace, and he's like the, almost has like that Jerry Brown. I love Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown should have been president of the United States.
He won office in Cali.
Yeah, he's the attorney general. Now, and it just depends on how the primaries shake up. And, you know, that's just pretty much the field. I don't know if I missed anybody. I don't think Biden's going to get it. I like Dennis Kucinich. He's the son of an itch.
Yeah.
Fellow son of an itch.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
He was a mayor. He was a really young mayor there. Took on utility companies. Heard some stuff from people who lived there. But what about, you know, when it comes down to the beauty contest, the sweat post technique?
Oh, yeah. There's that whole thing, that whole assassination, character assassination machine. And they're going to pull that out. They do that every time, the opposition research, or even just make things up. The swift voting. That's another reason why I decided I didn't want to get involved in electoral politics. It's just like, just all the scrutiny. And a lot of it's real, the scrutiny, or the, just the, what word am I looking for? You're just wearing a target on you. So people are, they have every right to criticize you because you're an elected official, you draw a public salary. So it's like, oh God, do I really want to have that kind of microscope on me?
Yeah.
I already do. See, that's the thing, is I'm pretty famous.
Yeah.
And the whole Nirvana thing is a phenomenon, so I don't know if I really need it. If I really want it. Someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can see that he's just has an appetite for that kind of thing.
I think part of his career, political career, kind of...
There's an appetite for that whole kind of...
And it helps him more than probably the party.
Oh, yeah.
You were asking what he was.
Would he really have gotten elected and made it through a Republican primary? I doubt it. So the whole thing was how he got in was engineered through the recall, and then he got in on a plurality ballot. How many candidates were on the ballot?
Jack, the singer of TSOL, that's who I voted for. He was running.
Yeah, they were
doing construction now. And
yeah, I mean,
I liked his platform.
Yeah, most people voted for somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and then he had this lot of image.
Oh yeah, he had the whole image, the strong father. That's something that that Republicans go for, is the strong father figure.
And even the celluloid image.
Yeah,
an enforcer of law and
breaker
of law too, though. Huh?
If you had someone like Ice-T, if Ice-T would have ran for governor, it would have been like, well, Ice-T, author of the song "Cop Killer," Ice-T, Cop Killer, Ice-T. They would have just parted with it. But you had Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film Terminator, who walks into a gun store as his character is an evil robot. He loads up with an arsenal. He murders the gun shop owner. Then he walks into a police station and starts shooting Los Angeles Police Department officers. Or in the beginning of the film, there's another evil robot that's dressed as a Los Angeles police officer, and Schwarzenegger's plugging him with shotgun slugs. But if you had someone like Ice-T running, if you'd be like, oh, cop killer, cop killer, cop killer, cop killer, cop killer, cop killer, It's see how there there's a double standard.
Yeah, big time.
It's just, and again, it goes back to that whole kind of mudslinging and people with an agenda and.
Don't you think people see through that?
No, they don't. Because then you also have campaigns where, you know, it's so bland. All you need to really say is, I'm for jobs, I'm for schools, and now it's like, you know, the environment or whatever. You know, you kind of have these bland messages and you get out there.
I'm against crime,
yeah. I'm going to lock up the prisoners. And like, you know, I'm against the death penalty. I think it's terrible. And a lot of ways I'm a libertarian, too. Again, private initiative could work, but I could see, you know, I don't knock down state socialism rhetorically. I don't use that as a rhetorical tool. I mean, we went by Fort MacArthur here. I mean, that's just a huge jobs. The military is a huge jobs program. Come on. Do you have public power here? No, you don't, because they gave it all away. They gave it to Enron. See, nobody was paying attention.
Yeah. We have the DWP, LA City. Long Beach has Edison. Okay. I used to read meters for them.
And Edison's private.
Late 70s, yeah.
We have public power in Washington State.
The whole state?
It works fine, yeah. 1935, the Washington State Grange, sponsored this initiative. And they basically nationalized electricity, socialized electricity in Washington State. No private utilities. And it's like, they did a Hugo Chavez. And so every county has its own public utility district. And the citizens of the county elect three commissioners, public utility commissioners, for six-year terms. It's a nonpartisan deal. And then you have, you know, that's a socialist system. And it seems like Washingtonians really like it. And voters really like it. Why do they like it? Because the rates are lower. At least 20% lower. Why is it at least 20% lower? There's no profit in it. And then you have public power. And you also have this, you have public, the public power, this distribution is also fed by public power generation. There's the dams on the Columbia River.
Yeah.
It's BPA, and that's again in the 30s. So Roosevelt's
idea. Do you guys share them with Oregon?
Yeah, they sell surplus energy all into the grid and do the whole thing. But and so you have this publicly owned the utility, because something that's so vital as electricity and the infrastructure, like how do you have private distribution of electricity when you have to have, was like everybody gets their own line into the house, like, no, this is my line, that's the competition's line, that's the other line. It doesn't work like that. But at the same time, you have the public ownership and you have, there's no profit in it, so you have the electricity's cheaper, and that is an opportunity, and that nurtures the free enterprise system. Then you have companies like Microsoft or Boeing or whatever. They need all this electricity, and cheap electricity feeds into free enterprise. So you can kind of find a balance. But my point is I guess it goes back to the republicanism. It's just like, oh, well, that's socialism or whatever. It's just like, those are just rhetorical tools that they throw around. You know, well, let's socialize medicine. Like trying to have some kind of, you know, public healthcare system. We'll throw that around as socialized medicine.
So it's all about the semantics, the words, the labels.
Semantics,
what about like liberal, conservative? Do those mean anything anymore?
I don't know if conservative means anything anymore.
I mean, they use them a lot. They throw them around. But do they really, are people more complicated than simple labels like that?
I think so. And that's why I'm interested in electoral reform, that if voters have more choices, you would reflect the values of individuals. You have liberals and conservatives, but nobody's really like pushing any new ideas. And then you have like, I would say nobody's pushing any new ideas. That's not the right, I retract that. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that like a lot of liberal rhetoric is like anti-Bush. It's like, well, yeah, we know that it's like he's a terrible president, but what are the policy proposals? Yeah. And then what? And then what's the ideology? So it goes back to like breaking down those semantics. Like, no, there's actually, you can have some socialism, not Pol Pot socialism or Joseph Stalin totalitarianism, centralized socialism, but you can have people coming together in a, you know, in a public arrangement, some kind of like public deal. Could your plan? You know, for the common good.
Yeah, yeah.
Schools, public schools, or socialized schools.
Yeah, the defense has always been
socialized defense.
Right,
police
but
department, socialized security.
There's a new trend with these contractors,
fires.
Right? Independent the military being contracted out in Iraq. Private security.
Oh, that's a gravy train is what that is. Big time. That's just a total gravy train. And it's really, it's just too bad. I hope things change. Things are going to change to January 20th, 2009. Just get this all behind us. It should have never happened. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh, and all the people who were behind Bush, and you know, for nothing. It's just like 8 years down the drain, basically.
You don't think it'll go further? Nor Iran?
No, they won't. There's, I don't think there's going to be Iranian.
It's beautiful.
One tail light. The Iranians and Chinese have a lot of agreements with energy and oil, and just the Iranians are helping fuel the economic growth in China, and it's like, and the Chinese are helping fuel our reckless government spending. That was 6 years of Republicanism. It's more fuel, and so it'd be like they'll just. I think the Chinese will put the kibosh on it, because what are they going to do? Bomb Iranian refineries?
Yeah.
What are we going to have, like $7 gallon gasoline here? I mean, just for the disruption.
So it won't go, because everybody. Not everybody, but there's a lot of talk, a lot of fear of that.
Well, it'd be nice if those Iranian mullahs would just... They're really bad. You got to remember, too, that the government in Iran is bad. They're totalitarian.
Theocracy.
Yeah, it's a theocracy. But I don't think that's going to last forever. I know that's not going to last forever. Same with the Chinese communists. That's another totalitarian.
Right.
And that's not going to last forever, too. People are going to come together under forms of communication. It's going to be the internet.
Yeah, there's gigs there now. Sonic's just played there.
They're just going to have
the Urinals played there.
Who did?
The Urinals.
Who was the Urinals?
They were an old punk band from L.A. From the late 70s.
Well, see, Karl Marx was off by a suffix. It's not going to be communism that saves the world. It's communication. And people are going to go online, and they're going to see how other people live in the world, and...
Do you think nationalism is kind of dead?
Well,
or it's going to be stunted?
You know, nationalism has also been a useful tool for the powers. But I can only speculate. In 100 years, is the whole world going to speak English? You know,
Chinese?
Or Chinese, yeah, but I think English is so easy for people. The alphabet and the grammatically.
Yeah.
It's already the international language of commerce.
Right.
And money makes the world go around.
Yeah.
And so when they sent that, the Voyager into space with the gold LP, there's instructions on how to play it. There's words in Serbo-Croatian, Chinese, English, German. Hello, how are you? You know, but you know, in 100 years, I mean, I haven't been to San Pedro in 30 years, but things are things change. Nothing stays static. That's the way of the world. People are going to be communicating. Where's the next big music scene going to come from? If everybody's online, maybe the new trend. And we're still doing rock and roll, which is like 50-year-old form of music. And something's going to come out of somewhere, you know, again, Southeast Asia, you know, somewhere in China or
Africa.
Asia, Africa. Well, Africa, yeah. Africa's always been on the forefront of music. And it's going to be more of a global phenomenon. Or things can decentralize, too. I mean, if you're into that kind of music, you'll find it. I mean, people are already... it's kind of like an associating online. They go to their... You have their friends on MySpace. You find your friends on the internet. You have your chats. And it's like a virtual community. Because people need to come together. I remember when I first went online in like 1992. So when I first went online, and I was on Usenet, okay?
Oh yeah.
And that was a total decentralized deal, right? And it was just text. And you used to get on these user groups, right? And you could just post on the post text, right? And then I got this deal called America Online, AOL. And
AOL.
You know, and it was basically, this is the internet as brought to you by AOL.
Right, right.
And I would download it, and I had a 2400 baud phone modem, and it took me 2 minutes to download the CBS logo. I'm like, screw this. But then I got a browser, and I got onto the World Wide Web. It's like, whoa, this is the Wild West.
Yeah.
WW Wild West World.
Yeah.
And so they could come up with a scheme with, like, maybe it's the whole net neutrality thing, right? It's just a scheme like, oh, no, this is all private. You sign up with the private mega company, and then they kind of decide whose sites are on there. But I don't know if that's going to happen, or maybe the cat's out of the bag.
So, hopefully.
Hopefully. So, you know...
You know, the argument, oh, well, there's plans to build bombs on the internet.
There'll be some kind of scapegoat or something to scare people. But when you talk about nationalism, too, I mean, there's like, petty nationalism. I mean, that's what, like, busted up the former Yugoslavia. Was just the communist nationalism fell to the wayside. And so then it came into ethnic nationalism, was replaced, and things... People fanned those flames.
Old fumes.
Yeah, they fanned the old fumes. And then, ironically, you know, you can Serbia and Croatia and Slovenia and Bosnia and Herzegovina are all on track to be part of the European Union, another federation.
Yeah.
So it's like...
What was it all about?
People are coming together.
Right, they got it.
And but then there's some essential things too. It's like what I try to remind people of is that you can dismiss nationalism, and you should, like petty nationalism. And then of course there's that, just that BS patriotism. But there's some important things like the United States Constitution and the ideals that it protects. There's a pretty astounding.
Yeah.
Really, and the way the whole system is set up it's something that we shouldn't take for granted, and that we should make sure stays intact.
Yeah, to it.
See, and so when they founded the United States, the power was given to the documents and these ideals, and everybody else had to like go to the rules. And that's what we're going by. And is it perfect? No. And if there's been slavery and segregation.
What about internet with music?
Oh, well, then those are property issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, private property. If you invest time and money into creating this content, I believe that that's your private property, and you should have control on how it gets distributed. Because someone will just take it away from you. You're like, oh, I want to have my little website with all my favorite songs on it, and I'm going to be cool. And it's like, but you didn't make any of these songs. You didn't do this. And so this is the basic notion of property. If you can get some land, or even you could live, even in this society, you could live collectively. You can associate with people with the same values, and you can share things. You can do things cooperatively, start a co-op, join your own local food co-op or whatever. But you don't have the right to take something that belongs to somebody else.
But to enforce that, that means?
That means you need to have a law. And that's, again, the constitutional form of government, is that the legislature...
Call those dick extenders.
Dick extenders. The legislature passed these laws. Are they fair sometimes? The way the legislature went about it? No, they... But that might have to do something to the electoral system, which goes back to that. But it's property rights again. It's just like you own that van. Why should someone take it away from you? I mean, you worked for it. You bought it. Same thing with music. People will take, people take things if you let them. That's why you have a club on your steering wheel. People take things.
Anti-donate.
Yeah,
maneuver.
People take things. So, they do that on the internet. They would just take it. And the same thing, look at the Napster. I mean, some people were putting some serious bread into Napster, venture capitalists. What were these, some kind of like ideologues, Leninists? They wanted a collective culture of no property. Like, no. They were out for a buck. They wanted to make money. They were just going to... And then who gets screwed in the end? The hardest, always. The people who make the music. Who is the traditional people in the... gets taken. Same situation. The artist.
So the next Pepper album's going to be up on the net.
No, they're sorting that out.
Yeah.
Again, too, things should be really voluntary too. Like, if you want to give your music away, go right ahead. If you want to have some kind of collective, cooperative structure.
From Pedro Show, that was Kyoko with I'm Exciting Very Nice. And yeah, Chris Novoselic, very exciting, very nice. Always a pleasure to talk with him. Interesting cat. And glad to see him back on the bass, you know, now with Flipper. The Minutemen played with them years ago up in San Francisco. It was a wild gig. I can't remember what it was called, 10th Street something, maybe. my memory. But, yeah, we got a lot of shit thrown at us. Lit cigarettes, I remember. Some full beers in the can. But it was you know, it was a great gig. D Boone was wailing and Georgie was roaring on the drummy. And I tried my hardest to keep up with those two. And Flipper was amazing. And I seen him at a bunch of gigs, but not many years. So it's good to know they're out playing, and even better to know that Mr. Novoselic is rocking the bottom with him. I know it sounds like a big hand in the songwriting for the next album, too, so that's righteous. Chris, yeah, you can take the boy out of Pedro, but you can't take the Pedro out of the boy. The man. Something like that. He was tripping on some of the ways things changed a little bit. And he dug seeing a kayak, too. He'd have a hard time fitting in. He's a big man. Oh, yeah, when we got done spieling there, he had to go eat with his folks. Well, his people. His ma lives up with him in Washington, but... Or is it Oregon? I think it's Washington, by the river, in the south. But anyway, we went across the street, and the Union War Surplus, and he got a man purse. I guess this thing was for gas masks, hold your gas mask in the military. And it had a pouch that he thought was needed. It held his BlackBerry leash thing just perfect, so he was into that. And yeah, we saw Norman's. That's where you would buy your cords, you know, your fancy Levi's, and you had to dress up. Tommy's Yacht Club, all that. Tommy's just got sold. There's new owners. And because I saw the change of ownership notice up on the front of it there, and I wonder if there's plans for that. Last week, no, or the week before, yeah, it was the week before, I was home for a few days, and I did a gig with Tom and Raul and Missing Men here in Pedro at Harold's, another bar. This one's from the 50s. Early 50s, and yeah, a cat named Harold ran it for a long time. I think his son owns it now. But they were closed for a while, and they've reopened, and I got to play, or we got to play with Toby Vail from Kill Rock Stars, you know? And she's drumming in this band. Ain't her band, but she's drumming for him, and they wanted to play Pedro, so Todd over at Recess Records, he's a cat from Torrance, so he moved here. I've had him on the show. I should have him on again, because he's a righteous cat. Excellent musician and a great skater. Anyway, yeah. Mr. Men played another gig, too. Oh, sorry for thumping the table there. But up in San Francisco, we had some time. There was a day off between the two Warfield gigs, and we played for the Slap Magazine's 15-year birthday party. And the band before us, we had Tony Guerrero, Ray Barbie, and Chuck Treese, who were amazing musicians and skaters themselves. So, yeah, got some Missing Men coming up this week, too. Two shows opening for Melt Banana, a band I got to play for before, Righteous Man. End of the second hour now. No, it's the end of the first hour. May 13th, 2007. Hold tight for hour two. May 13th, 2007. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's some Cornelius.
Bye. Holy, 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 holy. The world is holy, the soul is holy, the skin is holy, the nose is holy, the tongue and cock and hand and asshole holy. Everything is holy, everybody is holy, everywhere is holy. Every day is an eternity, every man's an angel. The bum is holy as a seraphim. The madman is holy as you, my soul, are holy. The typewriter is holy, the poem is holy, the voice is holy. The hearers are holy, the ecstasy is holy. Holy Peter, holy Alan, holy Solomon, holy Kerouac. Holy Hunky, holy Burroughs, holy Cassidy, holy the unknown buggered and suffering beggars, holy the hideous human angels, holy my mother in the insane asylum, holy the cocks of the grandfathers of Kansas, holy the groaning saxophone, holy the bop apocalypse, holy the jazz bands, marijuana, hipsters, peace, and junk and drums. Holy the solitudes of skyscrapers and pavements. Holy the cafeterias filled with the millions. Holy the mysterious rivers of tears under the streets. Holy the lone juggernaut. Holy the vast lamb of the middle class. Holy the crazy shepherds of rebellion. Who digs Los Angeles is Los Angeles. Holy New York, holy San Francisco, holy Peoria and Seattle, holy Paris, holy Tangiers, holy Moscow, holy Istanbul. Holy time in eternity, holy eternity in time, holy the clocks in space, holy the fourth dimension, holy the fifth international, holy the angel in Moloch. Holy the sea, holy the desert, holy the railroad, holy the locomotive, holy the visions, holy the hallucinations, holy the miracles, holy the eyeball, holy the abyss, holy forgiveness, mercy, charity, faith, holy hours, bodies, suffering, magnanimity, holy the supernatural, extra-brilliant, intelligent kindness of the soul.
Built to be strong.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off the second hour there. Well, first chunk of music for the second hour with Gum by Cornelius. Maybe it's our, like our word, chewing gum, you know. But pretty wild, huh? I wish the bass would have been that loud, though, at the gig. That was the only thing hurting. They had the shimmy was too tiny. The guy's a great... I think he does a lot of guitar, but in this band he plays bass, and I was really digging on what he was doing, so you can hear it here. I don't know if he plays on the record, though. I don't know much about it. I'm just finding out about this band. And then we had I Am Daughter. Yes. Sometimes I feel like that. I play that role. My three-quarter have been eliminated. That has a cat in the band, Stefano Pilano. Pilaya. Yeah. Sorry, Stefano. Because it's just like my ma's name, my grandmother's name, Piaia. Only one letter's different. So I think it's, because hers was P-I-A-I-A, and this is P-I-L-I-A. Pilaya? Yeah. Maybe. If I fucked it up, my sincerest apologies. I met Stefano on the last Second Man tour, the only Europe tour of my Second Man's Millstand opera, and he was with us for the six Italian gigs, and he's part of this another scene in Italy that's more like ambient music. I know I've played a lot of the jazz core stuff with the Zoo and Squartet and Lepers and Frog Women. My memory. My apologies. But, yeah, a lot of interesting scenes all over the world, you know. Pedro, too, even. Yeah. So, it's exciting for me, you know. The world's a classroom. Not always the most gentle lessons, but interesting ones, huh? And music, a righteous teacher. A footnote to Hal by Allen Ginsberg. Everybody knows about Hal, right? His famous poem. Well, this is the footnote here. And that's Mr. Ginsberg himself reading it. I got to meet him once. He's reading from a book, his last book, because he died not too long after. And, yeah, he's a character. Man, you know, it's too much. So, but interesting guy. And What Can You Do With This Gift by Smokey Emery. That band's got a cat named Sam, a guy I met that I really like a lot. He lives in England, but his partner Daniel here lives in Austin and flowed me this. It's something they did a few years ago. Because I, you know, since meeting Sam Duke, you know, I wanted to know what kind of music, because I saw him playing in another band. It wasn't his band, so I was interested in his own music. So I think this is collaboration, but one day I'm going to get Sam music from Sam, and I can't wait. And his buddy Daniel, I don't know if he's from Austin, but he lives there. And he had something to do with this other band, Two Ticks, with the Unknown Army of the Passing Parade. So they like big titles, huh? Not just Gum. Gum's cool. We had Dose Practice yesterday, and Kira brought me these three Wire CDs of stuff. I guess when they had another member in the band, and for 1976, and some practice things, and can't wait to listen to that. Speaking of sounds, I got a lot of stuff on tour people gave me. And, Memphis. I played in Memphis. I got to see Jerry Lee Lewis. He was great. I mean, older gentleman, you know, but He had to stop the show a couple times because of fighting. It's one of them crowds, you know, with the beer in each hand, baseball hat. Not to stereotype anyone, but there's a lot of cool people there, but maybe some got a little borracho and threw some chingazos. And Jerry, you know, simmer down. Or, I'm trying to do a show here, you know. It's so funny that this cat comes on stage and he's like, you know, Mr. Jerry Lee Lewis, you put the rock and roll, you know, all the rock jock. He must have been one of them, maybe. And now the killer, you got to cool out, you know, and not fight, or the killer won't keep playing. Because that's his nickname, you know. But, yeah, that was a trip. And right by the river. In fact, it was a trip, too, about playing the gig. I was looking at the river, and my pop's people, his daddy was from Earl, Arkansas, which is, you know, West Memphis, you know, 10, 12, 15 miles. And so I was kind of looking out that way, you know, while playing the gig, and this trip about that. And cats have been playing. But I found some music at a great store there called Goner's, and like the Headcoats. And yeah, Awesome Color and a Little Richard thing. Just a whole bunch. I got a lot of, and also on tour, folks gave me stuff, so got a lot of music to play. Interesting. And Righteous. Oh, speaking of my mom, it's Mother's Day, and me and my sister Melinda took her to Chow at Pacific Diner here in Pedro. Usually Sunday mornings, she cooks us a breakfast chow, but we had someone, we paid someone to rustle it up this morning. My little sister Marilyn, yeah, my little 44-year-old sister, she'll always be my little sister, but she couldn't make it, but me and Melinda were there, and let's hear it for the Moz. Much respect. Here's some more music, Quad from Pedro Show. Thank you.
Good night. deserve. You know I always like to leave things in that way. And you know, I'm beginning to like the snow. Oh, and it's as if we're the only ones who know it's there. Stop and stare, and you say we survive alone in the woods. And now we'd have fun getting lost, oh, and getting out, getting out, getting out, getting out.
Thank you.
Okay, people, I went and checked, and it's Stefano Pilia, P-I-L-I-A. So, yeah, he has an L where my grandma had an A, okay? Sorry, man, scoozy. Fucking dumb fuck what? So, anyway, I had to get that cleared up because I respect Stefano much. He's involved with a lot of projects. Yeah, you gotta check his stuff out. I think he's got a website somewhere or something. Where do people find songs? Don't say it. Anyway, you know, check him out because he's a great cat. And when if you meet him and you say you heard him on Watch Show, that he fucked up saying the name, but then corrected himself. Okay. Right there, that was It Out by Position Normal. Before that, Sunday Afternoon by Maya Elaine. It is Sunday Afternoon, huh? Yeah, I found that. I think they were on a bill with the Agitpop. Agitpop, old friends of mine, and they'd gotten back together, and one of them sent me an email about a gig coming up, and that was on the bill. So, you just check stuff out, you know? You stumble onto things. It's pretty righteous the way tangential learning can hip you to fucking happening stuff. Don't Care Me, Yumi Yumi. And we start off with Did You Feel It Too? Go Team. Sam, that's who he plays with. That's why I played that. And same with, I think this is a new song or a demo or something. Because they got an album come out in September, Go Team. That's where I met Sam. He's the one in the band that knew about me. One of his buddies had made a giant painting of D. Boone. You know, on Double Nickels, he's got his driving his. We're all driving cars, but D. Boone's driving his. So this Impala his pop gave him with a big gash in the door, and some dude made a painting of his, a giant painting, and so yeah, Sam's a sweetheart, man. You know, I was at Raymond's yesterday, and because I'm thinking of got the artwork for this Foot of North thing, and Raymond painted it for me. Yeah. Now, when we were boys, me and D. Boone's favorite movie was a Sand Pebble. So Raymond thought, well, hell, Steve McQueen, you know. And as Jay Coleman in Sand Pebbles, and he drew me up this thing of him, you know. Steve McQueen was famous for his squint, you know, so he's got this squint going. And I have to admit, me and D. Boone couldn't really tell what the movie was about. We were too young, but I found out later. In fact, I read the book. You have to read the book. Richard McKenna wrote it. And it's not about military or even boats, you know, sailors. It's a human thing. Some deep things. And it was a mind blow. I didn't even know a book existed, really, until I stumbled into on it in a secondhand bookstore, you know, on a Portal for Pyros tour. Actually, that and my experience with Perry there led to me making my first opera, Contemplate in the Engine Room. It was pretty profound on me. You know what was profound on me this tour was in D.C. at the beginning of the tour. I was in capital there. I went down to the tidal pool basin, whatever, and by the Jefferson Monument, they got all these cherry trees. We got in the teens and two different times, the teens and the 50s, I think, and from Japan, and they were in the bloom, in the big bloom, you know, and it was pretty intense. It was pretty cold too. I mean, the sun was out bright, you know. It was, you know, back east it can be like that. It'll be bright yellow orange sun, but it's still freezing. You know, here, if it's in Cali, if it's cold, it's because the sun ain't showing. It's gray or, you know, rainy or something. It's not like sunny and cold usually. Anyway, that was profound on me. It was sometimes I find myself in these situations, you know, where it's a setup for epiphany kind of thing, but not really epiphany, because it doesn't come to me little. It comes so much at once. It just fills me, and I can't really put it right. Epiphany is where it brings everything together into a thing, a bite, right? You can deal with, but this is maybe convex of that, huh? No, convex would make little things into big, right? Well, it's everything coming together, but then it's too much. You know, like Ulysses. Right? God, that reminds me of a poem. I should read a poem that was given to me. I will after the next bunch of music, huh? That's what I should do. It's a beautiful thing. People are very nice to me, and really, they've been so generous with me. So, much respect, okay? Don't want to sound like a fucking idiot, but I kind of am. So, yeah, I was at Raymond's, and he drew me this thing. He's got to go to Italy tomorrow. He's got a big show there, I think in Venice. And when Raymond does a show, he goes early so he can paint up the room and get it all ready, you know? And I'm going to miss him. I think he gets back. I think he gets back a few days, because, see, I'm back and forth all summer. And so I think I'm home a few days, so maybe we can see ponies or something. But so it reminded me of the old days when I would, you know, be there with him, and he'd be doing his work, and we'd be rapping. Because Raymond's always working, man. He loves drawing, you know, painting and stuff. But he can kind of dual process it, huh? So, yeah, I'll be sitting there and discussing things. And like with Raymond, man, you can talk everything. And you will, if there's enough time. And, man, you know, I don't stay up as late as much. But in the older days, man, it would go on. And it wasn't just heating up the air, you know, heating up the molecules by moving the air. It was, he's an interesting cat. He's the best. Love him. So, you know, I said, well, Raymond, I'll get a picture of this. You know, Steve McQueen is Jay Coleman. Kind of, though. It's a Raymond thing, you know. It's kind of from, you can see his bib and he's got his hat on, you know, like an enlisted man. I'll take a picture and bring it back. And he goes, no, man, let me sign it. And he gave it to me. You know, St. Raymond. He's given me a lot. But just, I mean, his time and his spirit and his knowledge, all that, man. I'm not trying to say, like, Raymond, because he would never say this either. You know, he's more special than anybody else. But you got to really, what I'm trying to pass on or try to pass on to you here is, man, folks around you are valuable. They're great. Everybody's got something to teach you. Even if you have to say bye, you know, then they teach you from far. They teach you not being there, but there's the memories, and you would think about what they would. Yeah, people, you know, it can be a happening thing. There's something about being your own person and having autonomy, but then, you know, there's a gift of the humanity that's incredible. Just as long as it ain't coercive, huh? We don't need any of that. Well, we need some music here. Okay, Waffen Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. That was O. Yeah, a band called O with Easted Desert. Pretty clever. And before that, we had Nintendo Trip by Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Tone. Yeah. All right. It's here for band names. And a tune called, Nintendo Trip. I use that word trip a lot, huh? I think I was from France in the Super Mary Poppins. Wasn't that where it was? Or something. Some movie like this. From, not the Sand Pebbles, okay. She's a Feeder. That's the one I remember from the Sand Pebbles. But I think they're from Japan. Speaking of which, next hour, I'll get into it. I'll tell you about it. We also got the conclusion of The Ghost Islands with Jack Flanders next hour. It's a trip, you know. I got a whole bunch of music coming. Well, this guy made his own segment, a newspaper writer man named Daniel. I guess he heard Kaori with her thing from London in February, I think. And so he made his, you know, he's an Englishman, but he lives in Japan. He's a writer. And here's music he's listening to. So that's what we'll be here in the next third hour. So I guess I don't have to tell you much about it next time because I just did. I wanted to tell you about, or did I already tell you about Pelican? We had our debut gig, we're running out of time. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. May 13th, 2007. Here's part 11, the thrilling conclusion to Jack Flanders and the Ghost Islands.
Man, it's a jungle out here. This must be the clearing. And there, that's the cave.
You don't see anybody.
Claudine? Dominique?
I'll check in the cave.
I don't like the feel of this.
Dominique, hello?
No luck?
There's a lot of mummies in here.
Where did they go? Claudine, can you hear me?
Yeah, this ground is feeling spongy. You notice that?
Jack?
Claudine, what's wrong?
We're all right.
You sound strange.
We are running.
From what?
We are not being chased.
Where are they?
They are taking us to Bunny.
Are you all right?
Yes.
How do we find you?
Meet us at the boat.
Don't tell me where you are.
There is no time.
Man, my feet are sinking.
Jack, I'm telling you, go to the boat.
Claudine?
Things are getting a little soupy.
I have no idea where she is.
I think you gotta trust her.
Mojo, I can't just leave her here.
Listen, she knows what she's doing. We don't. And we're sinking.
What?
You're up to your ankles.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Pull yourself out and let's get out of here.
Okay. Come on. Let's go to the boat.
It's time for the old Ooga Booga.
What is that?
Vito, bail me out.
Finally. What is that?
Is that a temple?
Yes, it is.
Why is it shimmering?
Una, Munina, Bunny.
Ula Tugunina.
She's in here.
Is she captive?
No. Bunny?
Claudine? Dominique?
Are you okay?
Why are you here?
We have to leave.
Did you come for me?
What do you think?
I'm staying.
Bunny, you can't. You are not one of them.
I like it here. They're nice to me.
The island is disappearing.
You'll be safe here.
You can't stay.
Yes, I can. Una?
Dinu?
Bing Lak Mututchi?
Dinu, No, Tanga, no.
You see, you can't stay.
You came here and ruined it. Why? It's not your life.
I will tell you, but we've run out of time.
Look, look out there. The island, it's vanishing.
So, how are you going to leave now?
I don't know.
I should have bought those incredible Mickey Mouse shoes. Yes.
Come on, get into the...
Oh, man. Yeah. That was Larry. Running on an island made of jello. Gave me the shakes.
Yeah. Look, the island is disappearing.
This doesn't look good.
Claudine, can you... Oh, damn it. My walkie-talkie's filled with water.
Yeah, mine too.
Do you think they'll sink through the island and maybe we'll just find them swimming out here?
Maybe.
Hey, the sun's coming up.
Hey, look out there.
What?
You see over there?
What is that?
It's moving toward us.
I can't make it out.
Hey, you need a little more room.
Mojo, I don't think... Wait a minute. It's big and it's fuzzy.
I bet it's a lot of fuzzies.
You're right. They're gliding above the water.
Oh, man. If they're coming for us, we're cooked.
Hey, look. Look what they're carrying.
They're riding above the waves.
I see Claudine and Dominique, but I don't see...
She's with them.
Oh, yeah, there she is. It's Bunny.
Now, that's traveling in style.
They're waving.
Bunny doesn't look happy.
Oh, well, you know, teenagers.
I thought they called them young adults.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So the three were gently deposited into the dinghy. The fuzzy ones bowed, and we bowed back, and then they just floated away. Bunny was crying. Dominique held her and whispered something in her ear. Bunny stopped crying. She looked at me and smiled. I felt like a hero. But by the time we reached the docks, Bunny was glancing at me and giggling. I never did find out what Dominique was whispering, but if it works, it works. What the heck? And later, back at the Pelican's pouch...
Jack?
Yes, Claudine?
We can leave San Miguel.
You accomplished what you came here for?
No.
Have the islands disappeared forever?
Yes.
Do you know why?
No.
Do they know why?
Sometimes we never know.
But they are okay.
Yes, they are.
And Bunny?
She is going back to school.
Well, she's had quite an experience.
She is very special.
I know.
And you are too.
I am, aren't I? Claudine, you are absolutely...
Hey, you too. Are you going to join us?
In a minute.
You were saying?
Amazing. You are absolutely amazing.
I am blushing.
No, you're not.
Well, shall we join them?
I have one more question.
Yes, Jack.
Where did you learn to speak fuzzy tongue?
Do you mean speak fuzzinese?
Yeah.
Oh, I just picked it up.
Yeah. From where?
From a fuzzy. Where else?
But... No more questions.
Thank you.
Do I get a kiss for every question I don't ask?
We'll see.
Can I have another?
No.
Why?
Because you just asked a question.
Oh, I can't win.
Jack, you already have.
Well, there you have it. Jack, it makes it yet through another trip. Now, this was done in 2006. And the first one was in 1971, Fourth Tower of Inverness. So that's, 35 years of tripping. Magia bye. Anyway, you know, a lot has happened in these 6 weeks. One of the things that happened, besides the tour and Missing Man gig, was the first Pelican Man gig. And that's a band me and Petra got going now. Just violin, singing from her and me on bass. And she got roped into doing this benefit. So, I mean, we've been planning on doing this for a couple of years now. But she got roped into this thing. So I said, sure, I'd help out. I gave her a bunch of tunes. Because I was out on tour, I didn't have a lot of time to work with her, you know. But she did great. And, you know, let's see, we did a couple. We covered a Migu song, Floatin', and one that Petra and Yuka does. So those are the only two I really had to learn. All the rest were mine. And for the Floatin' tune, I mean, it's got a guitar, you know. So, but I think the arpeggio is on the bass, and Petra's got a great ear, and she picked out all the notes for me. And so I think I even blew a clam. I mean, I blew some clams, you know, my own tunes and stuff. It was just very nervous when it came time to do, you know. I was prepared very well. It wasn't just that I wrote them and knew them. I had been pracking big time. But it was an outside gig, and all these people, they were very polite, and it was quiet, and man, it was a pants shitter. I get scared at a lot of gigs, but this was pretty intense. I guess they all are pants shitters. You know, I got into this music stuff to be with D. Boone. You know, I just wanted to be with him, and to be doing it all these years later is such a trip. I don't have the nerve for it a lot, you know. But anyway, I got through it, and anybody listening who was there, please know I'll do better next time. And I know a lot of folks said they dug it, but maybe they're just being, I don't know. Let me talk about the duets, though. You know, the whole idea of just two. I mean, I've been doing it a while now with Dose, 21 years. But I think it's really helped me with music, especially after D. Boone, because there's not a lot of hiding in a duet, in a twofer band, you know. You got to be strong, or I mean, no mysteries. I mean, they're going to know about it if you're blowing clams. So things like this, and speaking of which, like another one I'm doing with the Sunshine. I'm me on bass, but playing along, and it's a challenge for me for sure. Okay, it's trippy stuff. It's for the Nori thing, but I'm getting it together. It's all righteous, you know. If it's challenging, then I'm gonna learn, you know. It's no sleepwalk. So, Petra was great, man. She really was. For his little time, and we practiced every day, you know, whatever, the 5 days before. Yeah, and then I had to go do a gig and come right back again. But we did it. It was on the 6th, I think. So just last week. Yeah, it was last Sunday. Oh, boy. So, now, let's get to this thing I was telling you about at the end of the second hour here. This cat from Losing Tokyo, he's from England. He's a writer man, and he heard Kaori from England segment, and, yeah, I wanted to play me what he here is going on over there, you know? Why not? You know, so... I've never met the man, you know, but this is the magic of the internet, right? And it's Daniel from Tokyo on the Watt from Pedro show.
Hi, my name's Daniel Robson. I'm a British music journalist living here in Tokyo, Japan. I was lured out here about a year ago because they have such amazing music, and I'd like to share some of that with you now. This first track is by a band called Go Go 7188, or in Japanese it's Go Go 7188. I'm kind of shooting my load with this track, because this is absolutely one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite bands, and it's called Ukihune. Was Go Go Nana Ichi Hachi Hachi. That song just never fails to blow my mind. It's a few years old. It's from one of their earlier records, not the latest one, but I just love it to death. This next band is called Motor Compo. They're a Tokyo band. They've been around for a little while. They, together with Polysix, kind of launched the new wave movement here. And they're actually coming to play in the UK. I have an agency called It Came From Japan that takes Japanese bands to tour in Britain, and that's what we're doing with Motor Compo. This song is called Motor Girl.
that from the bear? But there! Stop, friends and gentlemen!
Was Motor Compo. They're going to be in the UK from 19th of May. They're playing the Great Escape Festival and a few other shows. If you want to know more about It Came From Japan and that tour, go to myspace.com/ICFJ. This next track is by a band called Detroit 7. They're a very noisy, cool Tokyo band. And this track is called This Love Sucks. Thank you. Wasn't that amazing? That was Detroit 7. Next up, I'm going to play you quite a kind of up-and-coming band out here. They're called Vola and the Oriental Machine. These guys are kind of really weird, sort of androgynous vocalists who reminds me of a kind of On Heat David Bowie or something. But they play just really crazy stuff. This song is called Mexico Pub. Vola and the Oriental Machine. Next up, I'm going to play you a track by Sheena Ringo. Sheena Ringo is a kind of a really big alternative icon in Japan. She's very creative, unusual, slightly pretentious, but very cool musician. She mixes up a very kind of traditional Japanese sensibility with, you know, really modern rock music, and throws in a lot of kind of weird like jazz influences and stuff, and I think she's fantastic. So So this song is from her new solo album, which is her first solo album in a long time, because she was in a band in between. And it's called Maysight, and it's got a kind of an English subtitle of Camouflage. It's all gone by really fast. I'm just going to play one more song. Thanks a million, Mike, for letting me play all this fantastic music to your sexy and very well-endowed listeners. I'm frothing over with joy and excitement to be doing so. This last track is by a band called Miami. It's two girls playing kind of synthesizers and sequences and decks and violins and rapping and all sorts of stuff thrown all together, and they're a very fun and exciting, cool band. They are also going to the UK along with Motor Compo on the same tour. So if you like this, you know, please go check them out. And this song is called Shiratama Disco.
Watt from Pedro show. Now, did I say Daniel from Tokyo? He's from England, so it should be Daniel in Tokyo. It's Daniel Robson. So, thank you much, Daniel. This is some tricky tunes. And your analysis and your explanations and commentary. Thank you much for hitting people what's up happening over there. I mean, I hear some music from over there, over that land, from all kinds of lands, but it's how it gets to me, you know. I'm not really living in it. I should play more Pedro bands, huh? I'm going to have Todd on the show again from Recess, you know. Todd Congelier. He's got a few bands. One's Toys That Kill. His label's put out a couple hundred records, though. Or, you know, up to almost 200, or something like that. Impressive amount. And I know Raul, my second... Well, he helped with the second man, but my Missing Man drummer. He plays with Killer Dreamer and Drinker's Purgatory. I think those cats have records on Todd's label. And Recess Records, great label. Really. And, yeah. Raul just gave me some vinyl. I wish I could play it. From Killer Dreamer. I think it's coming out in Japan, even. The No People, a guy named Jin. I gave him a song he asked for a compilation, but he helped those guys tour over there. First time Raul had been over there. And I go in there in July for one gig with Stooges. Wish it was more. But I get to go to Israel, too, and Poland and Russia. There's some interesting gigs coming up for me. And, you know, the lands I've been to. Including this one here. Only one more U.S. this summer. Lollapalooza in August. You can check the Hoot page. HOOTPAGE.com MikeWatt.com Whatever. It'll get you the same place. And it shows you upcoming gigs. It looks like we're going to go to the middle of September. And, you know, the boiler suit's ready. Award every gig... on this tour. God, I just thought of something. Have you ever been thinking and just a big heaviness comes over you? Like, wow. I thought a realization of something that happened or something, a date. kind of an anniversary or something. I'm going to play some more music because we're getting low on the time here. But like I said, I'll have a show next weekend with Chris Kirkwood, too. So, sorry for the 6-week gap. Here's some music on Watt from Pedro Show. That was Head Coatitude by The Head Coats. Before that, we had Iggy and Watt, a song by McRad. Chuck Treese told me he wrote that when he saw the Stooges at the beginning of April. Amazing musician, skater, person, Chuck. Thank you very much. We had, ahead of that was City Slang, Sonic Rendezvous Band. I got to play with Scott Morgan in Detroit. He opened up for the Stooges. Sarajevo by Mad City Rockers. Before that, I think they're an Italian band singing about Bosnia town. It's coming on the end of the May 13, 2007 Watt from Pedro show. Missing Brother Matt, of course, but glad to be able to give you another show. Sorry for the 6 week space. I'll try to make them more regular. You know, I'll be bringing the mic with me on tour, so I'll be able to make them overseas, hopefully. And just the one problem was the bus noise. Where we sat, me and Steve McKay, was in the back, and it was over the motor, and it put a big old noise on things, so it was just impossible to do on the rides. And no excuses. Sorry, I have it more together for you. I love putting out these Watt from Pedro shows. Much respect, big love. Keep your powder dry.